You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What is up, Goat Flippers? I am your host, Lurk. Thanks for checking out this week's episode of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast, the number one hardcore and metal-related podcast on all of the internet. On this episode of the podcast, I am joined by Sven, vocalist and longtime original member of the Belgian death metal band Aborted. If you think you've heard that name before, you probably have. The group has been around since 1995, and they just released their 11th studio album, Mania Cult, which was a follow-up to their 2020 EP, La Grande Masquerade. If you're into death metal, grindcore, or any other extreme metal genre, this is the podcast for you. We talk about all types of extreme metal music that's been going on the last 30 years, plus cool artwork that has to go along with extreme and death metal type music. And on the off chance you are also headed to Birmingham, Alabama, we will be doing a Van Flip / Lamb Goat meetup. I will tweet about it on my Twitter account, and come meet up with us in Birmingham at a cool bar, and we will slam beers together or high five. Whether this is your first time checking out the show or you're a return listener, if you enjoy the content we're doing here on the Van Flip, please take the time out of your day to go ahead and follow or like us on whatever platform you're currently listening to us on. And if you have a couple extra seconds and you want to leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Don't forget to visit lambgoat.com for everything hardcore and metal related. Follow Lambgoat on social media, give us a like on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. Head over to the Lambgoat YouTube page and you can find all of these podcasts in video format plus other Lambgoat bonus content. While you're there, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the alert bell so you're always notified when new episodes or content is uploaded. And if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lurk City. That's L-U-R-K-C-I-T-Y.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is the stuff. Oh no, Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Van Flip Podcast. This week we have another international styled Zoom / podcast. I'm joined by Sven, longtime member of the band Aborted. How are you doing today, Sven?
What's up? All good, all good. Just winding down after a nice day of work again.
Yeah, yeah. What's the time difference between you and I? You're in Belgium right now, so yeah. I'm in Florida, east coast of United States. How many hours is that difference? Like
it's 9:30 p.m. right now.
Okay, so about 6 hours, Cool.
Yeah.
So you just got off work. What other work do you do outside of being in Aborted, obviously?
I'm a product designer for digital products, so I design mobile apps, web apps, that kind of stuff.
Cool. You're a nerd like I am, huh?
Yes.
So you kind of have been like the longest running member of the band for, you know, good Lord, how long? Like almost 30 years, right?
95, so I'd say 26, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so we're almost there. You're almost turning 30 almost in the band. And you guys have another album coming out within the next month. By the time this airs, it'll probably be out, or it'll be out that week. Mania Cult, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
And how many studio albums would that be for the band Aborted?
That's the 11th record.
How do you guys make it interesting after almost 30 years of the same, you know, of the same style of music over? You know, since 95 till now. I know the genre has definitely evolved in some ways. So like, obviously you can pick up on that, but is it tough to be in a band for that period of time on a specific genre?
I mean, you know, we get angry, so, you know, that helps. But honestly, not really. I mean, we just try to keep it fresh and just keep trying to incorporate new ideas, new, you know, influences from different spectrums of the, you know, the within the little box that we're in. We're trying to make that little box a bit bigger every record that we do. So we're trying to pull in different influences from all different kinds of things. The last couple of records have definitely had quite an influx of, I want to say, sort of doom and black metal in there as long with, you know, very techy stuff. So we're trying to find a good balance between all those elements to keep it fresh and interesting.
Is it easier to do that over there in Europe? I don't know if you've ever kind of written or recorded a record in the States, or have tried to write a record in the States, but it seems like it would be a little easier to get influenced by metal music over in Europe, because there is such an influx of, like, you know, black metal, death metal, all these kinds of different niche genres over there.
I think that's a very tricky question, because we have two members from California. Our drummer Ken's from there, and he writes most of the material. So I would say, is the record written in Europe or in the US? The band's from Belgium. But, you know, the record's written in the States, I guess. But I think it just depends on what you expose yourself to. We're no longer in an age of, you know, tape trading, whatever, where it's hard to get access to music, or you go to the record store once a week or whenever. Mm-hmm. And just pick out whatever comes out. And there's so much stuff available. There's so much on the internet through streaming services or YouTube or whatnot. So possibilities are really endless if you want to, you know, educate yourself in different musical genres.
Yeah, you definitely have to put the time and effort in these days, especially as an adult, to keep up with any kind of, you know, niche market, whether it be music or anything else. But so Ken does most of the writing, you said, and he's been in the band for almost a little over 10 years, I believe. So how did you guys come together, and how did he join the fold?
He used to be in a band called Abigail Williams. Okay, and yeah. I think at a certain point he auditioned for the band, and he got into a Vortex, and things just went really well. He quit Abigail Williams back then, and he's been with us ever since.
And how does that work for, like, logistics and, like, touring and stuff like that? Where do you guys find yourself mainly playing? Would it be over in Europe or in North America, or where do you find your base at?
It's mainly in Europe, because the career of the band's been, you know, grown mostly in Europe, because, mm-hmm. You know, we have much more legacy there. We tour the U.S. frequently as well. I think we do it once or twice per record, at least the last couple of years. But, you know, everything changed with the current situation. Right. But usually Europe, but we play all over. And it's been challenging for sure since, you know, bass player from Italy. I'm in Belgium. We got two dudes in California. So we don't really get to practice or whatnot. But we do that. Like, we usually meet up. We practice for 4 days straight in a venue before the tour to make sure that, you know, everything's tight. But regardless of that, I would say it's also positive in the sense that when we do see each other, we're very happy to see each other. And I think it's worth all the trouble you're going through to have the right people in the band.
Right. Yeah. And it definitely takes a little bit of, you know, nitpicking to get to that level. And that's a good segue to kind of talk about the members in Aborted, because it seems you are the one and only original member in the band from 95. And I want to say Ken is probably one of the longest running members since he joined the band 11 years ago or so. What's either difficult or easy about getting members or finding members to stick? Like, what's been the objection for Aborted?
I mean, if we're being honest here, I mean, we're a very extreme band. We're playing very extreme music, so you can imagine that doesn't mean like a huge paycheck.
Yeah, of course.
So let's just address the first issue. We're touring a certain amount of time out of the year, and then for some people, they, you know, there's people that start in the music industry and that expect that they're going to, you know, make a fortune playing death metal. Well, reality is slightly different.
Very.
I'll be honest and say we can't complain. We've been able to make a decent living when we tour, but we don't tour all year. And it's also not what we want to do. There's bands that tour a lot more than us. But for us, we just want to have a good balance between regular life and being, you know, able to do the music that we love. So, you have to do something next to the band to be able to live. And I think for some people, that's they either only want to or expect that they can only do music and that's it. Or, you know, some people just don't enjoy touring. So
yeah,
it's still quite a big sacrifice. You know, you're gone from your house, from your home, your family, whatnot, a good chunk out of the year. So those two factors, I think, are what make it hard.
Yeah, I can understand that. What made you come to the decision of not having only Aborted be your main focus, you know, with your, I don't want to say life, but like with your current time right now? Is that because of the struggle it is to make a decent living, whether it's, you know, touring or playing shows and writing music? Or do you just, would you rather not be on tour all the time either?
Well, it's a combination. I rather would not be on tour all the time because I realize how amazing it is to be on tour, to be able to play everywhere around the world. And it's not something I want to take for granted and I want to be able to enjoy. So I don't want it to get to a point where I'm like, ugh, we got to play another show.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy it, you know. So I love my job as well. I love designing and I love having a life. And plus, I don't want to, you know, thinking of the future, I'd rather also have something else, but, you know, under my belt that I have as a skill to make it in life rather than, you know, say you're 50, 60 or 50, whatever. And, you know, you can't do this anymore for some reason. Mm-hmm. And then what?
Yeah.
You know,
kind of up Schitt's Creek a little bit if you don't have a backup plan.
Yeah.
It seems that sometimes when you see like even old metal, like 80s metal bands or something like that, when you see these guys out and about like doing cameos or commercials, I always kind of wonder, I'm like, I wonder if they had a backup plan or if they got into any other niche in the music industry other than just playing guitar or something like that, or being in a, you know, an 80s band or whatnot, because it just seems like a little rough lifestyle at this particular point.
I mean, everybody does what they, you know, what they want and what's best for their life, but I pursued a career in designing as well, and I've been fortunate to work with some pretty cool clients, and it pays all the bills. I work when I'm on tour as well. So for me, it's the ideal combination. I get to keep my job, I live in comfort, and I get to do the thing I love the most whenever I want to. So for me, it's mainly been, you know, trying to find that balance where you get to make work and music and passion and everything work together in a good way, rather than there's one that completely overshadows the next, you know?
Yeah. So your last album that came out was Terror Vision in 2018, also released in September. And this upcoming September, I think, what, into the first week or into the second week of September, you guys have Mania Cult, the new record coming out, and that's on Century Media, I believe, correct?
Yep, correct.
Yeah. Is there any reason why you like to release in September, or is it just like, just so happened? That's how the schedule worked, or the
it just happened. I mean, the records before that, I think, were in January or some stuff. It's random. It just happened to be in this time. I think we moved releasing albums to September, October, because that's the best time to tour in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, a little different. There was a tour planned for the album release, but everything's been moved to February. Well, we decided we didn't want to move the album release. We, you know, there's enough things getting postponed for COVID, and we're like, well, whatever. We'll put out the record as we promised, so the fans can have it. And, you know, tour's happening February, if at all. You know, they'll know the songs better when we come to town.
That's true. And how long have you had this record completed? Is it something that you've completed over COVID that you had to wait to release, or is it something that you just naturally did? And right now is the, you know, in September is the natural release date for this.
I think we finished it, I want to say March.
Okay.
We finished it in March. Yeah.
So
but then there's all the other stuff that has to happen.
Right, right, right. The old rigmarole. But you guys wrote and recorded it within the time frame of, I would assume, like lockdown and COVID and the pandemic and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, we started writing it towards the end of 2018. And I think 2019 was completely focused on writing.
Mm-hmm.
The end of 2019, we started writing. 2020 was spent writing completely. And then we started recording it, I think, February 21.
And you guys released a single off there recently, Drag Me to Hell, mm-hmm. and that's the first and only single off of the album, I think, right? As a
second.
Second? Oh, okay. See, I got to do more research on this, man. So yeah, Drag Me to Hell. Drag Me to Hell is the second single released on it. Do you guys have any more releases coming out as far as with the album, or is it just going to be full length at this particular point?
Well, we did Drag Me to Hell as the second single, and Peter Sodi was the first one. Check out the video, I'd say, after this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, I think, next week, there's a third single coming out, the title track. And then there's a fourth one being dropped on the actual album release date of September 10th. And it's going to be an animated cartoon video for the song called Dementophobia.
Nice. And the album is, again, titled Maniacult. Where does that title come from? And is that kind of descriptive of what is on the album as far as messages and lyrics are concerned?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the whole thing is based around this cult leader called Waylon Thurston, who's an absolute maniac. He's sort of like based on this 80s slasher figure that we came up with. Mm-hmm. But everything is a metaphor about all the crazy shit we've been seeing happening the last couple of years, mental health issues and all that kind of stuff. So if you've seen the album cover,
yeah,
it shows this slasher figure, cult leader, whatever, up front. And there's all these demons around him that he's summoning, but actually it's just all the voices in his head and it's just bad shit. So that's what the record's about.
For someone who doesn't necessarily know that it might be like a storyline type album, is it difficult to win people over without them knowing that it's like a character-based album or that it's like a story-based album?
I don't think it matters that much. I think it's just like, it's cool artwork and it's heavy music and metalheads are like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's this whole story there. I think it really adds to the whole lore of the record. Mm-hmm. We even have an action figure of the central figure coming out. So we really like to go full depth, fleshing out the idea and creating this entire universe around mm-hmm. it. But in the end, it's an extreme metal record. And, you know, for some people, that's enough. And for some people, it's not. And there's this whole universe around it. So that's just the added bonus.
Yeah, I think it definitely heightens the material and the album in general, if you can understand that it's like, mm-hmm. especially like a story that you're following along. But that leads me to my next question. Is this a story that you would, or whatever you want to call it, is this something that you would have to listen to, like track one all the way to track the last track? Or is it something that, you know, someone who may be streaming it on Spotify or another streaming service that would have it on shuffle, would they still be able to, you know, enjoy the full piece of art?
Yeah, I mean, clearly albums are made to listen from start to finish, but still, of course, you can enjoy it when it, you know, pick whatever song you want. You'll get the gist of it for sure.
Yeah. And speaking of the artwork and everything like that, death metal always has like really unique art. Is that who did the artwork for your album?
For the last couple albums, it's been Par Olufsen.
And how did you guys like get in contact with him?
He did the Necrotic Manifesto a bunch of years for us. And then after that, I mean, I got in touch with him because we've known him from other album covers. He's quite known. He's done a lot of releases. He did the Faceless, the Apology. He's done Immortal. He's done so many bands. Very talented artist. Very cool guy. And we've done a couple album records, record covers together. And I think he's just the right one for us. We tried some different stuff in between, but we keep on going back to Park because he just brings the concept to life in a very original manner.
And is that why a lot of bands go that route as far as the imagery and like the artwork? Because it does seem more artistic or like drawn, you know what I mean? Like there always seems to be something that was created by hand and pencil or and then painted or something like that, rather than like design on a computer and everything like that. Do you think that's a lot of the allure of death metal is the artwork? Like, because you said earlier, you know, if an album has good artwork, most times a casual death metal fan will pick it up to listen to it. Do you think that is a big part of death metal?
I think so. I mean, I'm biased because I am a designer, so artwork is very important to me. But I think in general, yeah, I mean, you want to create this whole atmosphere, and you want your album cover to be representative of what you're doing. So it's very important. It's the first thing, you know, that people see. If they see it in a record store or even on a streaming platform, and you know, the album cover draws the attention, it's something, or even on YouTube, you know, Visualizer or whatnot, it's something that's going to draw the attention. And I think in any genre, it's important. And the appeal to a lot of death metal artwork is that, you know, the passion and the work that goes into it. Like you said, it's actual paintings, and it just creates this whole vibe, you know? Mm-hmm.
I haven't had the album to put my hands on, but I'm assuming there's artwork within the book too. Did he also have a hand in that artwork too?
Yeah. I mean, he did a bunch of panels, and then we had someone else draw us to fit into our artwork, because, you know, with COVID, we weren't really able to take any band pictures since we all live in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So basically, we had someone draw us and slap him in the album, because that's what we had to deal with.
How long?
But it worked out. It was cool.
Yeah. I mean, the artwork definitely stands out. At least the main image of it, the front cover of it, definitely stands out. How long does it take for you guys? I mean, well, not you guys, but how long do you guys wait on somebody to create that artwork like that? Like, how long does it take the process?
Well, we usually come up with the stuff way in advance. So I always book the artist way up front so that they have the time to, you know, work on it as much as they want to. In this case, with Par, I think it took a couple months going from the first sketch to the finished product. But also, we weren't in a rush, and I'm sure he did other projects in between. But we just wanted to take our time, no pressure, and just, you know, make sure that what you do is cool and that everybody's happy with it, and let him use his creativity as much as he can.
Yeah. So you particularly are over in Europe, and like we were just, you kind of mentioned, things have had to been pushed back yet again for the pandemic reasons and such like that. Do you guys, like, what's it like for you over in Europe at this particular point? Because I know that, you know, I'm from Florida here in the States, so it's a little, we've kind of been a little more laxed on the entire COVID thing. So, and I try not to talk about COVID as much on this podcast because we've been doing it for so long. But I think right now with it, you know, ramping a little bit back up and all these variants and stuff coming out, it's interesting to bring it back up again, unfortunately. But what is it like for you guys in Belgium, or for you in Belgium in this particular time?
Well, we just had a festival with, like, I want to say 25,000 people last weekend over here.
Yeah.
So things are, they did have to be vaccinated or have a negative test to get in. Things are more or less like normal, besides the fact that you have to wear masks everywhere. But there's a meeting of the government on Friday where they're going to decide if they're going to further release measures or make them more strict, since hospitals have been starting to pile up again with the variants. Apparently, older people don't create enough antibodies with the vaccine anymore. So that's a problem. And there's still a part of the population that's not vaccinated. So a lot of those people are getting in the hospital right now. So it's still sort of a shit show. So hopefully by next year, we can say things are back to normal.
Yeah.
Even if I think we have to live with this stuff from now on. But yeah.
Yeah, it kind of seems like that may be the case too, living with it going forward or whatnot. Hopefully it you know, doesn't get as bad or isn't as bad going forward. But I know we've also had some festivals over here in the States. We had like the big Lollapalooza festival that everyone was talking about in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then we had a couple rock festivals where like Korn and some other people have played. But as of today, I think Korn had to put a, you know, Korn postponed a couple of their shows because I think they had COVID in the camp or whatever. And a couple other bands like Limp Bizkit and Spirit Box were on tour. That was a big thing going around, and they canceled for some reason that somebody, I think, had COVID in one of the camps or something like that. Not exactly sure who, but it has been interesting to see how that has or that is going to play out. And, you know, I know for people over here, at least, they got a taste of what it's like to get back to somewhat like live music normalcy or something like that. And I know that a lot of people don't want to like have that cat go back in the bag, so to speak. But there are a bunch of measures that I think a lot of the event people are going to be putting into place. Some have already done that in some states and some cities, as far as like have to be vaccinated or only vaccinated, and you know, or you can have a negative test and vaccinated or whatnot. But it's interesting. I don't know how that pertains to my state, because my state's a little different than the other states, unfortunately. It's a little more Wild West down here. But I don't know if they're going to, because, you know, our governor isn't with a lot of the other stuff that goes on with the COVID. So, like, I don't know if he's going to make everyone have a vaccine to go to shows or go to live events or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see going forward. But
yeah, and I think it's very tricky because say you're on tour right now and someone tests positive, well, the entire tour package has to go in quarantine, and the financial impact of that on a tour is devastating. So I think it's still a very fickle situation. Yeah, to be honest,
it's so touchy, and it's so touchy, especially just for this type of entertainment, live music entertainment. You know, especially we're talking with genres that aren't big, like Justin Bieber and all these other like main rock acts and stuff like that. We're talking about like smaller acts that fill smaller venues that rely more heavily on like touring and stuff like that. So it definitely has been a bummer to see that happen in the last 2 years and see all, you know, cause some bands may not even make it through that. You know, they may have to focus on other things in their life for their livelihood, therefore giving up, you know, the music dream, so to speak. And then, you know, it's a rigmarole at that point. But it'll be interesting to see how this plans out. Hopefully they just kind of get these measures in place and people act accordingly, and we can continue getting live music and live arts and stuff like that to the people, because obviously it is one of the things that I look forward to in my daily life. And I haven't been to a show, and I mean, I've been to shows recently, but it had been, you know, 18 months prior to that. So it was rough, especially if you go every week, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same here.
So how did Sven get into death metal? Was it easy to get into death metal over in Europe because it's so prevalent, or because it doesn't seem like extreme music? Growing up for me, extreme music, especially in that kind of realm, like death metal and stuff like that, was very niche for me growing up. So alternative music and, like, you know, heavier alternative music was the not the normal, you know, like the, I don't know, alternative lifestyle, I guess. So how did Sven, as a youngster, get into this extreme music?
Well, funny enough, the area where I'm from used to have a very strong metal scene. Not anymore at all, but when I was growing up, there's a lot of local bands, there's a lot of, you know, life in the metal scene. We even had a metal festival back in the late 90s, which was practically in my backyard. We had, I think, the first time Cradle of Filth came to mainland Europe was there. Cool. We had one of the first In Flame shows there. We had the first Soilwork show there. Lots of bands that are huge now actually, you know, played there in that little backyard festival, which was fantastic. A lot of friends of mine played in bands, and that's sort of how I got introduced into the metal scene and, you know, started this band eventually.
And so you said your local scene kind of dissipated. Do you have any inkling as to why that happened and why those things aren't going on anymore?
I think it was a lot of the people that kept it alive just left the scene. And then the younger generation wasn't into that anymore. So we had like a youth house, whatever you want to call it, like a bar for people that were age 16 to, I want to say 25, something like that. Mm-hmm. And when that closed down, a lot of people moved to different places, started listening to different music. A lot of the local bands started breaking up, you know, getting older and getting married, whatever, having kids, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what happened with the local scene over here, at least.
Interesting. Do you see any type of resurgence with that, with the time going on? Because I mean,
no.
Okay. Locally, we had had a scene too for a while, then it kind of went away. But in the last handful of years, at least in my area, there has been a resurgence. So I was just curious if there hasn't been over there, but sounds like it hasn't been. So that's unfortunate.
Sadly, not.
Yeah. So what's next on the, obviously you have the Mania Cult album coming out and then you have subsequent tours. How long do you foresee yourself being a part of Aborted, and how long do you see Aborted, releasing music? Is that something that you plan to do because it's not your main focus in life? Is that something you plan to do as like a side hobby or side passion for years to come?
Until I'm no longer able to, I think. I think the moment that this is over is the moment that I stop enjoying it, because I don't want to do stuff that I don't enjoy. And that's the real reason to do music, honestly. I don't need to do this for money. So for me, from the second it becomes boring or I don't enjoy it anymore, then that's it for me.
I understand that. Well, Sven, I know you're limited on time. We're coming up to about 30 minutes, so I'll cut you loose, because last time I had a short interview, I had the other person cut me loose in the middle of it. So I will just stop it here. But it was great to have you on, Sven. And again,
thank you very much.
Aborted's new album, Mania Cult, September 10th through Century Media. You can check out all the singles. Probably have been released by the time this episode comes out, so definitely check those out. You can pre-order your album, correct? And I'm sure there's bundles with all sorts of vinyl and all the cool things, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And you can get some of that great artwork. Sven, it was great having you on. Thank you. And hopefully we'll see you in the next year, 2022, here in the States, and we can sit down together and have an in-person podcast.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you very much for your time, and talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolfpack, Keb Mo, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.